Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, it's good to be here. Let's open with a prayer as we always do. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for this blessed opportunity to come before thee. We thank thee for this opportunity to worship thee and to sing thy praises. We ask, Lord, that thou would bless this service here tonight and let thy presence be felt by all who are here in this building and by all who are listening online and by all who will hear this recording later. We ask, O God, for a touch from thee. We pray that thy perfect will be done and let thy spirit flow, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to start with number 91 in a chorus book tonight. Without Him, number 91. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide. is the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's turn to number 110 and sing, He's My Bread When I'm Hungry. Number 110. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. Praise God. Let's turn to number 68 now and sing, He's the Lord of Glory. Number 68. For He's the Lord of Glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of Glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of Glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of Glory, He is the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise is God. We're going to turn now to number 130 and sing, He's My Lord and My God. 130. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I looked past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. He's my just a stranger to me. When I looked past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my God. He's not just a stranger to me. When I looked past the veil, it was easy to see. He's my Lord and my God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 28 and sing, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me. Number 28. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Praise the Lord. God. And we're going to turn now to number 185 and sing, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do." 185. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. My God is so big, is so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. The rivers are his, the mountains are his, and the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. My God is so big, is so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. My God is so big, is so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. The rivers are his, the mountains are his, and the skies are his handiwork too. My God is so big, is so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. My God is so big, is so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. My God is so big, is so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. The rivers are his, the mountains are his, and the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, is so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn to number 89 and sing, "God Can Do Anything." Number 89. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we're going to be turning this over to Shirley in just a moment. Before we do that, I just want to mention I'd appreciate it if you could all keep me in prayer. I've been going through something a little strange, a little peculiar for the last week or so. I have been unable to sneeze. And it's weird because you get the sensation, you know, I get the sensation like I'm going to sneeze and the sensation that I need to sneeze, but I can't do it. And now there's sort of some sinus pressure that's starting to build up too, and kind of a light, low-grade headache. It's not real terrible, but it's overall unpleasant, so I would like some prayers regarding this situation, and hopefully it'll improve quickly. You know, it's difficult too, you know, trying to figure out what to take for such things, considering I have diabetes and all that. So, yeah, I could use some help from the Lord on this. So if you could keep me in prayer, I would appreciate it very much. And we're going to turn this over to Shirley now, and she's going to lead a Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I am so glad that we serve the mighty God. Amen. And he can do anything but fail. Amen. Thank the Lord. Oh, what a blessing to know him here tonight. Oh, thank God we can open his word. We have this privilege. Oh, yes, you know, we can see with eyes of faith and know that the Lord is coming back. Oh, yes, he's prepared a place for his people, and we have expectations in our hearts. And we know in this interim that, oh my, God can give us faith. Faith to endure into the end, to overcome this world, and to be victorious. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to pray here as we begin here tonight. Let's ask the Lord to have his way. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for another opportunity. Oh, God, we thank you that we can look to you, Lord. Oh, God, amidst all the things in this world. Oh, God, all the potential and all the things they're trying to do, Lord. Oh, God, you know what the devil is trying to do, Lord. Oh, God, all those that he uses, oh, God, to bring forth his plan, or at least they attempt to. But, oh, God, oh, Lord, we know that thou art the mighty one. And you are with us, Lord. You are mighty to help us. And, oh, God, you know how to keep us. Oh, Lord, you know how to give us faith, Lord. And I just pray that faith would work in us tonight. Oh, God, we come against the strongholds. We come against the opposition. We come against, oh, Lord, all the tactics of the enemy. Oh, Lord, we believe in the name of Jesus that you're able to deliver us, to set us free, oh, God, to give us victory in our lives. And I pray that you'd work tonight, Lord. Oh, God, that the cunning of the devil be defeated. Oh, God, his tactics and all his strongholds. Oh, God, we rebuke them in the name of Jesus. And I ask, oh, Lord, that you'd have your way, Lord, that you'd deliver your people, Lord. Oh, God, that you give us faith here tonight. Oh, God, help us to believe you. Oh, God, for you are mighty. You are great. There is none like unto thee, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we come against everything that would oppress, that would bind, oh, that would hinder. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we take authority over everything, every stronghold and every attempt of the enemy, oh, Lord, to overwhelm or to prevail in any way. We ask that you'd have your way in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, God, that you take this study, oh, Lord, that you'd use me, Lord, for I could do nothing without you, Lord. I ask, oh, Lord, that you give me the authority and the ability and the anointing in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that you'd work in our hearts, oh, God, and I pray that you give us faith. Faith to stand against the wiles of the devil in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, God, faith to prevail. Oh, Lord, thank you, God. I pray that you'd help us to embrace that shield of faith, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, that every dart be repelled in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. We thank you, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Help your people, Lord. You know what's going on. You know the needs, Lord. And oh, God, I pray that you would help Chris Voss, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd heal his hand, that you'd help him. Oh, Lord, I pray that he'd get right with you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd tug at his heart. Oh, God, I pray that you would help all of them, Lord. Rob and Tori, too, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, you know every need, even before we ask, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you give faith to your people, Lord. Deliverance to your people, Lord. Oh, God, eyes that can see beyond the mundaneness of this world. Oh, God, all this trouble, all the sorrow, all the conflicts, all the confusion. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you'd have your way, Lord. Put peace in our hearts. In Jesus' name, help your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, move here tonight, Lord. Help Samuel, Lord. Oh, God, heal his sinuses. Heal him in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, God, help your people. Help your people, Lord. Oh, God, help Peter, John, Lord. Oh, God, move mightily in his life, in his heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, that he might feel thy peace. That he might know thee as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that you would work, Lord. Oh, God, the tempest may be raging, Lord, but, oh, God, you are on your throne, and we're here to worship you here tonight. We're here to bring glory to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we're here to lift you up. Oh, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. We talked about faith last week, and I believe I call that message, if thou canst believe. And then, yes, to continue that verse, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, praise the Lord. I just felt like I needed to continue that study, and this time I'm going to call it the workings of faith. And it had just seemed that I should go to the book of James. Because there's some aspects, some workings of faith that are brought out in the book of James. So praise the Lord. That's what I'm planning to do here tonight. Amen. With the help of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord with his guidance. And oh my, we know that we must have faith. Oh yes, it's only faith that's going to get us home. We're living in a very troubled time. You know, the enemy is relentless. Oh my, he's attempting whatever he can. But oh my, we've just got to remember our God is greater. Our God has all power. There is nothing too hard for our God. Amen. We've got to remember it. You know, no matter what the Chinese may be trying to do. Oh, praise the Lord. No, we're in the hands of the Lord. And praise the Lord, we know that faith can move mountains if we could just believe. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, those mountains of fear and of doubt. All those things that the devil tries to bring up. But praise the Lord, Jesus said that we can rebuke. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that we can take authority. He has given his church authority. He has given his church power to prevail upon the enemy, to tread upon the enemy. Praise the Lord. We have victory in Jesus. Amen. That name that is above every name. Praise the Lord. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Through faith, we can tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, knowing that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Praise the Lord. Yes, let's take the word of God. Let's believe it. Yes, let's stand on it. Amen. There's power in God's word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to be going to the book of James. But first of all, let's just pause here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and let's get the definition of faith here. Oh, it doesn't hurt to review, does it? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just read this here. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now praise the Lord. Faith tells us that God spoke this world into existence. Faith tells us that, you know, it's hanging on the word of God. Oh, yeah, they can't explain how the earth can rotate and move and so on and just hang there. Nothing apparently holding it up. Oh, my, but there is something that's holding it up. And that's the word of God. Oh, yes, he spoke it into existence. He put it into orbit. And, oh, yes, it's continuing at this moment because God is allowing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he put all things that exist, into existence because it was framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Praise the Lord. All at once, because he spoke it, elements began to form in this world. And from those elements, he began to make substances. Praise the Lord. And with faith, we can believe the things that we hope for, the things that we need. Oh, yes. Faith tells us the Lord's going to do it. It's the substance of things hoped for. In other words, because we can see it through eyes of faith, we can believe it. And it's, you know, the Lord knows how to bring it into existence. It's the evidence of things that are not seen because, yes, he puts faith in our hearts so that we can believe him regardless of circumstances. Oh, yes, it tells us by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. What an amazing thing. Oh, yes. I don't believe he had a blueprint. I don't believe he had a scroll to tell him, you know, that he needed to offer a sacrifice to God. But praise the Lord, it was in his heart. And he did it by faith, believing that, you know, it would please God. And he did it with the right heart. Praise the Lord. And because Cain had evil in his heart. Oh, yes, he attempted to offer something too. But it didn't please God because his heart was not in accord with God. Oh, yes, there were other reasons for his gift. But praise the Lord, it was by faith that Abel was able to offer unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then it tells us of Enoch in the 5th verse. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that so amazing? Oh, somehow, I don't know how that was exactly. But I know one thing, he had faith. And yes, he must have believed that, you know, he wasn't going to see death. And praise the Lord, God honored that. and God translated him. Oh, yes, because he had a testimony. It was in his heart, and he pleased God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And one more verse here in Hebrews 11 for the moment. It tells us in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, yes, it's faith that God puts in our hearts, too, so that we would even seek after God. Yes, that's faith that brings us to God. There's no way we could do it unless God had put faith deep within us. And, oh, yes, faith to believe that he is, that there is a God, that he does exist, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord, those that look for him, those that seek for him. Amen. That put a great effort towards finding the Lord. Amen. Oh, that's faith. Faith that operates within our being so that we can please God, so that we can believe that he is. And yes, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That having been said, I'd like to go to the book of James here. And I'm going to be in the first chapter some, and in the second chapter, Lord willing, as the Lord leads and as time permits. And then I'd like to cover some bases in the fifth chapter of James. But let me just give you a brief outline here tonight. These points, I'd just like us to know, I believe they're all workings of faith. So, from the first chapter, we're going to gather that faith that is tried worketh patience. And then secondly, from that first chapter, it tells us that faith must not waver. We are not to be double-minded in order to see faith operating in our lives. And then, Lord willing, if we are able, we're going to go to James, the second chapter. And it tells us there in James 2 that faith must be without partiality. And then, going on in that chapter, it emphasizes the point that faith is accompanied with works. Otherwise, it's dead. Amen. Oh, we must. If we have faith, there are going to be works that show that we have faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then if we get to James 5, oh, yes, we're going to go into the prayer of faith. Oh, praise the Lord, that brings great deliverance. Oh, yes. Healing, oh yes, and the answers that we all need from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to it now. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's look at the first portion of James, the first chapter here. Amen. As we begin. Praise the Lord. The first verse tells us, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And so it appears that James, who considers himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ here, also a half-brother to Jesus, I believe. Yes, and it seems that what we gather from the book of Acts, that he had a great deal to say in the early church. Praise the Lord. But here he's addressing the 12 tribes that are scattered. In other words, I would say the dispersed of Judah and Israel. But yes, he's greeting them. And then he goes into the word here, and he says in verse 2, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And oh my, that's not such an easy thing, you know. By temptations here, I believe he's referring to tests and to trials. And of course, the words divers actually means diverse or varied, several or different. And so he's telling us here, when these tests come, these trials come, that we are to count it all joy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh my, you know? Did you know you're supposed to be joyful in tribulation, in trouble, in temptation, in other words? Oh my, praise the Lord. But here he says that we should count it all joy. Because in verse 3, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to stop here a moment here. The trying of our faith has an end to it, in other words. It works patience. And my, I believe we can tell from the Word of God that faith and patience somewhat work together in many ways, and it's very needed, both faith and patience, to get through this world and overcome. We're just going to look at a little bit of scripture here before we read more in James here. Let's just look at Romans, the 5th chapter here, verses 3, 4, and 5. They read, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we don't want to be ashamed when we stand before the Lord. Oh, yes, he shed his wonderful love abroad in our hearts. Oh, yes, he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, so that we could overcome this world. Oh, yes, so we could have power within our being. Praise the Lord. And yes, here we're also told to glory in tribulations. Just kind of similar to what James said here in a little different way. You know, to glory. Oh, to rejoice, in other words, in tribulations. Because, again, you know, they have an end. Tribulations work patience. And patience gives us experience. Experience gives us hope. And praise the Lord, hopeth maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Looking at more scriptures here, looking at Luke 21 and looking at verse 19, it tells us here, and in this portion of scripture here in Luke 21 pertains to the very end, as Jesus is declaring it here. And you know, in the midst of all of that, verse 19 tells us, in your patience possess ye your souls. And of course, that's kind of in the middle. Actually, a portion of this chapter also pertains to the fall of Jerusalem. And yeah, the warning that they were given back then, that when they would see Jerusalem compassed with armies, that they would know that the desolation thereof is nigh, that the time was coming when the Romans would come into Jerusalem and completely destroy it. And yes, they were told what they must do, that they must flee to the mountains. And those that were living in Jerusalem in the midst of it, they are warned very clearly to depart out. and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. So it was a cutoff point, but Jesus had forewarned and told them that those would be days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And you know, the things that we're seeing coming to pass at this point also are coming to pass because God has ordained it. It's part of His plan. Oh, we might not fully see through it at this moment, but oh my, our faith in God tells us, oh yes, God knows all about it. He sees through it, and there are reasons for all these events that are coming to pass. And I really do believe that we are in the book of Revelation. And we're seeing the outpouring of God's wrath and things that, oh my, we've not seen before. But as it was true for them that lived in the time of 70 AD, we need patience. Yes, because it was said, Jesus said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Patience is going to get us through the tribulation of this world. In fact, if we look at the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, we're going to see, oh yes, that patience is also considered in that chapter and also in the 14th chapter. Now, just looking here, Revelation 13, verse 10, it says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. I believe it's talking about God's vengeance when he comes and turns everything around, and it will happen. But he states here in that 10th verse of Revelation 13, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Amen. And likewise, as the things that are considered at the end of the world are being brought out in 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, it talks about the pouring out of his wrath, the cup of his indignation, the torment that comes forth. But oh my, he says here, in verse 12, after he has mentioned that there is going to be no rest for those who worship the beast in his image, those who receive the mark of his name, oh, we must give diligence here to this scripture. We must give heed. And it tells us in verse 12 here in Revelation 14, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And no matter what goes forth in this world, we've got to retain our faith in the Lord Jesus. We've got to keep his commandments. And yes, that patience, that realization that our God is going to come. Oh, yes, that his coming is at hand. And oh, yes, we must maintain that faith and hold on to it no matter what comes to pass in this earth, no matter what we see, no matter how dark the night may get. We've got to hold on to the promises of God. We've got to have that patience to know that, oh, if we can just hold on and believe God, that there is an end to it. Oh, yes, and that he's going to take us through. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that our God is faithful. Oh, yes, and patience in our God, in his promises, is going to give us the strength to endure until the end. Oh, praise the Lord. Turning here now for a moment to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Reading just a few verses, starting with verse 10 here, Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Oh, God sees and remembers. He knows the works of his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. He knows the things that have been done in his name. Praise the Lord. Our works and labors of love. Praise the Lord that we've done in his name, that we've showed toward his name. Praise the Lord. In that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister all works of faith. Verse 11 says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. So we've been talking about this race of endurance that we are engaged in. Praise the Lord. And yes, holding on, showing that same diligence, that same effort to the full assurance of hope until the end. Amen. Verse 12 tells us that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Praise the Lord. Oh, followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Something to hang on to. Amen. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, they work together, faith and patience. And besides that, we know that our God hath long patience. Oh, yes. Oh, his whole act of grace has been with patience. Amen. And just going to the fifth chapter of James for a moment here, before I go back to the first chapter of James, tells us in James 5, verses 7 and 8, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is holding out for that last one who will yet come to him in faith and believe in his promises and embrace his salvation. Oh, he's holding out. He hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Oh, yes. His congregation, his people, his sons and his daughters. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8 here tells us, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh my, with the things that we're seeing coming to pass on the face of this earth, I think, oh my, we've got to realize that. Oh, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, he's going to come one of these days. Oh yes, and if we could just be patient, as our God is patient, and establish our hearts, oh, with that realization, with the word of God, oh, yes, with all his mercy, his goodness, his attributes, praise the Lord, because one of these days, he will come and not tarry. Oh, praise the Lord, the one that we have looked for will come and not tarry. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and we're going to believe that. We must grasp that. Oh, yes, we must hold to it. Amen. And have that patience, realizing that that moment will come. Oh, yes, when it will be over. Oh, yes, God's will accomplished, and his family, his children, the redeemed, oh, yes, brought forth as he puts in the sickle to reap this earth in his righteousness. Amen. Oh, it must have been hard for the children of Israel when the plagues were being poured out in Egypt. You know, they had a promise that, there was going to be a deliverance. But, you know, it might not have looked like it for quite a length of time as they saw God's judgment falling and, oh, yes, one plague after the other. And, you know, Pharaoh, instead of releasing them, just gets harder and meaner and harder and meaner. Oh, yes. But praise the Lord, God's promises are true and we can hold to them. And that day came when, oh, yes, it was time. Oh, when the death angel came. Oh, and they were told to put that blood on the doorposts. Oh, yes, and to get ready. To get ready. Oh, yes, because that time had come when they would be led out of Egypt. Oh, praise the Lord, and they would be brought out of that land and delivered out of the power of Pharaoh. It came true, didn't it? And just as it came true for old Israel, the children of Israel, it's going to come true for us. One of these days, he that shall come will come. And will not tarry. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and we're going to hold to that promise. We must hold on to that promise. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. So, yes, going now to the book of James, that first chapter. Yes, again, it tells us here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 3. Verse 4 tells us, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we know from what we read in the other verses, yes, that there is a work that is wrought through patience. And here, yes, let patience have her perfect work. To get us to that place of maturity. Oh, yes, where we arrived in that place by the grace of God, by His mercy, by holding on to His promises through faith. Amen. Oh, yes, that we would get to that place. And so here we're admonished to let faith have her perfect work. Oh, yes, the things that He's going to do through us. Amen. The battles that are going to be won. Oh, that holding on. Oh, that perseverance and realizing God's promises are true. And He knows how to take us through if we could just hold on and believe God. Amen. I know as I was working on this message at home, and I couldn't help but think of those years earlier. I think it was about 2003 or so when I had this burn on my knee. And obviously through that burn, there were a lot of poisons that accumulated in my body, and it just didn't go away. And anything that I did that came to mind didn't seem to help. And, you know, my knee, it got red and swollen and it would weep. I mean, there was so much pus that would come through it. And, you know, I actually did go to doctors and none of them knew what to do. They gave me antibiotics and they didn't help at all. In fact, I believe they made it worse. Oh my, and I have had other problems, and you know, I sometimes had reaction to the antibiotics and they kept on changing them, and I saw many physicians, and you know, not one could help me. But praise the Lord, there was that day that it went away and my knee recovered. Oh, praise the Lord, the swelling went completely away, and all the redness and all the pus and all the weeping that had happened. And, you know, it was quite something, because it was quite a few months that I went through this, and at times it looked like it was getting better, and then it would get worse, and oh man, I have to go through that again. But thank God there was an answer. And there was a day, a moment when God completely delivered me from that plight. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. And that's it. You know, sometimes the answers don't come with a snap of the finger. Sometimes it's not instant. But you know what? The Lord is working in us. And as it tells us here in James 1, that fourth verse, but let patience have her perfect work. God works through these tribulations, through these hard things. Oh my, these unknowns at times, these crazy complications at times, the confusion of it all. But oh, if we can just hold on to faith. hold on to the promises of God. Oh, God knows how to deliver us, how to take us through. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know that 18th chapter of the book of Luke, you know, oh, the purpose of that story that Jesus told. Oh, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh, that tendency to faint in the day of adversity, to give up, you know, to think it's in vain. Oh, to go another route, you know, and to forget or to abandon God's promises. But oh, we need to hold on. Oh, just like that parable that Jesus told in that 18th chapter of the book of Luke. Oh, that widow woman that went before the unjust judge, and oh, although he did not avenge her of her adversary readily, she had to go back. She had to go back again and again and again and again till he finally got sick of her. Oh my, but Jesus told that story because he wants us to know that we have to press through these things. You know, we have to continue to have faith. In the midst of struggles, in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, of unknowns and crazy things that maybe don't add up, we have to keep believing God. And just as, yes, the emphasis was that men ought always to pray and not to faint, oh, so it must be in our hearts. And yes, there was that moment that widow was avenged of her adversary. Oh, that unjust judge gave in. Oh, yes, because that woman had faith. She was persistent. She kept on knocking, so to speak. Oh, yes, she kept on seeking. Oh, yes, she kept on continuing to make that door open. Praise the Lord. And one day it did. One day everything changed. Amen. And Jesus said in verse 7 here in Luke 18, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Praise the Lord, the promises of God. Hey, we can hold on to them. Verse 8 tells us, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." But nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now that's the big question. And here we are. I believe we're at the end of the world. And oh my, how we need faith. We must have faith to continue. Oh yes, despite of all the crazy things that we see that don't add up and don't make sense. But oh my, faith knows how to take us through. And if we allow it, oh, patience to have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Yes, the work that the Lord is doing through all of this to make us ready so that we can be acceptable in the sight of God. Amen. When we stand before him, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord for that faith that is tried. Oh, because it worketh patience. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh, we're going to continue here. And then the second point that we were going to talk about, that the fact is that we need faith that doesn't waver. So let's read on here. Verse 5 here in James 1. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." Oh, praise the Lord. "And it shall be given him." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, liberally, you know, means generously, you know, freely. Praise the Lord. He giveth to all men liberally or generously. Oh, praise the Lord. How could you beat that? And then besides, it says, and upbraideth not. In other words, he doesn't rebuke us severely or bitterly. You know, he doesn't scold us because we're asking maybe repetitively. Praise the Lord. And you know, asking for wisdom in particular. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Praise the Lord. But there's a but here. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Oh, we don't want to waver in our faith, do we? Oh my, if God said it, he meant it. And you know, we did talk about Peter a little bit and his walking on the water. And praise the Lord, he did walk on the water, as it tells us in Matthew, the 14th chapter. But, you know, when he looked down and he saw the waves, the wind and all that it was doing there, making the sea churn and the waves toss, oh, his faith was abandoned for that moment, wasn't it? Jesus had to reach down and save him. But oh yes, we are admonished here to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, yes, so that tells us, you know, if we want something, we better make up our mind. We're just going to believe God. We're going to expect it of him. You know, we don't want to be one way today and another way tomorrow. You know, faith for the moment and tomorrow just completely faithless. And, you know, fighting it and you know, thinking, you know, it's not going to happen and maybe even angry at God. Oh, let's not do that. No, we need to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Well, it tells us clearly, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, we don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to have wavering faith. And oh, Lord, help us, you know. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief, as that father cried out in our story last week. Oh, yes, the need for his son to be delivered. And oh, and Jesus had told him if he can believe that all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh, yes, and he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord helped him. The Lord helped him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I'd just like to just, for the moment, just go to a couple places of example here where I believe there were people that had a great display of faith. Here in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, we've got Jesus. He had departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. There in the 21st verse it tells us. And the 22nd verse tells us, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast, out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And, oh, I just admire this woman. Here she's a Gentile woman, obviously. She came out of the coast. And, you know, nevertheless, she'd heard of the works of Jesus Christ. And she had faith. She had faith. She had a problem. Oh, she had a problem. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. Oh, that was not hard to see. It was terrible to bear. And, oh, yes, she's crying out. And, you know, at first it looked like Jesus ignored her. We look at verse 23. She came to him, the 22nd verse, and told of her problem. But 23, verse 23 tells us, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Oh, she was not going to be denied. She was not going to be ignored. She knew she was a Gentile woman in all of that. But, you know, obviously she kept on crying after him, and it, to the extent that the disciples of the Lord Jesus, you know, sought that, you know, this nuisance of a woman would be sent away. She crieth after us, you know, and it was annoying. You know, they were sick of it. Jesus was ignoring it too, it seemed, for a moment. But she was persistent. Oh, she kept on, and oh, despite everything, oh, she kept on crying out. And the disciples want to get rid of her. Send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24 tells us he replied. And this is what he said to this woman. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And, you know, for many, I have a feeling it was kind of a point of rejection, I would say. You know, he's saying, I wasn't sent to you. I was just sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you know what? This woman did not give up. Now, what did she do? It tells us, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful God we serve. What a merciful God we serve. And you know what? He's still going to insult her even greater. Verse 26 tells us, but he answered and said, it is not meet or appropriate to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Oh, what an insult. And yes, as I brought out fairly recently in another study, the term dogs often refers to Gentile people, and it was an insult. You know, that's kind of how they were seen through the eyes of the Jewish people. But, you know, I must admire this woman's faith, her persistence. Oh, praise the Lord, her comeback. She wasn't offended. You know, she wasn't offended. And she said, verse 27, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Oh, praise the Lord. And how did Jesus answer? Oh, wow. It was worth waiting for this response. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I need to beseech the Lord and not to give up. Praise the Lord. And it tells us, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. But, oh, he's looking for a people that will hold on, that will hold on and have faith and not, oh, yes, give up. We'll believe him no matter how dark the night may seem and how persistent the enemy may seem. Oh, he's looking for a people with faith that will believe God regardless, no matter how many years it has been. Oh, no matter how much it hurts, no matter what the doctors may have said. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God. Praise the Lord. And he's here to meet the needs of his people. If we could just hold on and believe him and walk by faith and not by sight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm turning now to the 7th chapter of the book of Luke here for a moment. And here I believe we have another example of great faith. It tells us here in Luke 7, verse 1, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant." Oh, praise the Lord. Here we've got a Roman, not another non-Jewish person here. And he's a centurion. He's a man of authority. But yes, he had a problem. You know how problems bring us closer to the Lord? Oh, God is able to use them to give us faith, to make our patience mature in the Lord. Oh, yes, to bring us to that place, oh, where we have a perfect faith. Oh, where we could reach maturity finally at last. Through the conflicts, through adversity, through trials and testings. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. So here it is. He heard of Jesus, the centurion, and he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, you know, Jewish people, to beseech Jesus that he would come and heal his servant. And it tells us in verse 4, "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he," talking of the centurion, the Roman, "was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." Oh, praise the Lord. He built a synagogue in Capernaum, it appears. And you know, Jesus heard that appeal. And it tells us in verse 6, "Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither though thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." Oh, you know, this man, despite the fact that, you know, he has authority as a centurion, he's over men. But, you know, he sees something greater. He's recognizing the authority that was in Jesus Christ, I truly believe. And he's, you know, he's saying, you know, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. You know, but, you know, Lord, there's this need. And, you know, if you just say the word, I know my servant shall be healed. Oh, praise the Lord. Talk about faith. And then he said in verse 8, "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Oh, yes. This centurion realized that there was a man with greater authority than he. And he knew that if he, in his capacity, could say to one, come, and he would come, or go, and he would go, or do this, and he would do it. If he could do it as a Roman centurion, then this greater one, the Lord Jesus, oh man, all he'd have to do is speak the word, and it would happen. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 9 tells us, "When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Oh, praise the Lord. How the Lord sees faith. Oh, it comes forth, you know, the way, oh, we react. the things that we do, the words that come out of our mouth, they all tell a story. You know, do we have faith? Are we believing God? Or are we, you know, doubting? You know, are we double-minded? Are we, you know, putting our faith in another aspect or another prospect, you know, another possibility in our mind? But this man, oh, had such faith that the Lord Jesus marveled. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, it says, and they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. The wonders of faith. Oh, people that will believe God, that will just take him at his word and believe God. Amen. Believing in his promises. They are yea and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I've mentioned this before, but I know Brother Lance, the evangelist that ministered here sometimes in the past and has now gone on to be with the Lord. I know that conversation I had with him when he was talking about his years of work in as a missionary in the Philippines. And, you know, he was telling me how, you know, there was great faith there that, you know, they would pray for people. And they would pray, and they would believe. Amen. They would have faith. They would be healed. Amen. You know, they would baptize people in the name of the Lord Jesus and tell them, yes, you're going to rise up out of the water and speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And praise the Lord, it happened. Oh, the wonder of faith. And the thing is, you know, so often we stretch it out. We make it so hard. You know, we doubt in our minds. We're double-minded, you know, and all this is and that. Or maybe we're just not persistent enough. You know, maybe we just don't continue. You know, maybe we give up after a while and, you know, walk away and think it's not going to happen. But our God is looking for people that have faith. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, he's looking for people that have faith. Oh, praise the Lord, that will believe him. Oh, we must believe him. Oh, my. You know, these are very troubled times. And, you know, this might just be the very beginning. We've got to have faith if we're going to endure until the end. We've got to hold on to God's promises. I mean, where else can we go but to the Lord anyway? Who else can help us? Who else can deliver us? Who else is there that can do all things? That nothing is too hard for our God. Who else is like unto that? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. But oh, yes. We continue here in the book of James, going to the second chapter now. We know that faith must be without partiality. And here in James 2, James is writing in verse 1, he says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you your assembly, a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there cometh in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Oh yeah, I know there's some churches that, you know, if you have enough money, enough prestige, you can sit in the front. You know, oh my. But otherwise, you know, if you're really poor, you have to sit way in the back. You know, if a little bit of money, you can sit maybe in the middle, you know, and that sort of thing. Well, it kind of sounds like respect unto them that have the money or the prestige kind of thing there, you know. Smiley Schuller, was that? Oh my, and others, I'm sure, are the same. Oh my, but we're told here, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves? and are become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 5 tells us, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" Oh, praise the Lord, how the Lord sees it. Oh, the poor of this world who are rich in faith. You know, maybe that was one of the reasons God moved so mightily in the Philippines. Maybe they were pretty poor. I'm guessing they were pretty poor. But oh, God hath chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. Hath not God chosen them? Amen. But oh my, seems like there was a problem that James knew of and that he was referring to here. He says in verse 6, "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worship thy name by the which ye are called?" I'm sorry, I didn't see that quite right. "Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?" Oh my, it's not good, is it? Oh, to blaspheme the name of Jesus. It says in verse 8, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For ye shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment." Oh yes, so there we're told in that portion of the second chapter of the book of James, the need to have faith without respect of persons or without partiality. Oh yes, praise the Lord. And oh yes, it emphasizes the need to show mercy. Oh yes, because if we're not merciful, oh, God's not going to show us mercy ourselves. Oh my, how we need God's mercy. We're all in need of God's mercy. Oh, without a doubt. Amen. And then going to the next point here. That point that faith is accompanied with works. Praise the Lord. Let's read here. Looking at verse 14 here in the second chapter of James. Here's another question. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" And he's going to exemplify what he's talking about here. He says in verse 15, "If a brother or sister be naked," in other words, they don't have clothes to stay warm or sufficient clothes, maybe just rags, "and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" And then, oh yes, you know, he tells us clearly, verse 17, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Oh yes, there's going to be evidence of faith. Yes, it's going to be apparent if we have faith. So yes, James is declaring, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Verse 18 tells us, "Yea, a man may say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works.' Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Oh, it's not going to stand alone, is it? It's like we've said, it's, works are going to accompany faith. Amen. Verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, obey man, that faith without works is dead? Oh, he's emphasizing it here. And then he talks about Abraham. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And of course, if we just consider Abraham for a moment, and you know, we know how he was called out of Ur of Chaldea. And you know what would it have been if you know he was called out and you know did nothing when God came to him in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis and told him to get out of his country and from his kindred and from his father's house to a land that God would show him, the promise that God would make him a great nation and he would be blessed, his name would be great and he would be a blessing. And he would bless them that blessed him and curse them that cursed him. And in him, in Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. You know? What if works would not accompany that? It would have come to naught. Really? You know, God couldn't bless. He couldn't fulfill what he had declared if there were not works to, you know, go forth and make it happen. So it tells us in that 12th chapter of Genesis, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Amen. And oh yes, the things that followed because he got up and went. He obeyed God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Despite the fact he was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes. But oh yes, that moment when he was tried. Oh, in even a greater measure there in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, up there on Mount Moriah. Oh, yes, when he was told to take his son, his only son, his very beloved son, and offer him as an offering unto the Lord. Oh, what a test, what a trial. And would he pass? Would he pass? Oh my, you know, God's not going to ask us to do that. But oh my, sometimes God does ask us to do things that we're maybe not so willing to do. I mean, you know, God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh. And, you know, initially, Jonah wasn't going to go to Nineveh. Oh my, we know that story, don't we? But I'll tell you what, Abraham believed God. And despite the fact this made no sense, that promised son that had been given to him and, you know, from which his heirs would come forth. I mean, honestly, Abraham had faith and he believed God. And you could see them, you know, as he left the servants behind in that 3-day journey to this place. And oh, yes, going up to that mountain. And Isaac saying unto him, my father, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? By faith, Abraham saying, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and praise the Lord, how that faith was honored. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it came to that place. The wood laid out, everything set, the fire and all. Isaac upon that altar, the voice from heaven, oh, God, telling him, oh, yes, now I know Abraham. How much you love me. Oh, now I know, Abraham. Oh, despite the fact that you were tried, oh, pretty much beyond measure, that thou hast not withheld thy only son, thy very beloved son from me. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, how God honored it. It was a test. It was a test. But that man whose name was Abraham passed that test. And oh yes, he was justified by those works. Tells us in James, that second chapter, seest then how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Oh, praise the Lord. It doesn't look like I have time to go into that fifth chapter and talk about the prayer of faith. But oh my, we just see these workings of faith here in the book of James. Oh, faith that is tried worketh patience. Praise the Lord. And oh, Abraham was tried. But praise the Lord, through faith he passed that test. And oh, we're told that we must have a faith that does not waver. Praise the Lord, a faith that is consistent. Oh, a faith that is not double-minded. We're told in the second chapter of the book of James that we must have a faith that is not partial. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that does not have respect to persons. And yes, as we just read, we know that faith is accompanied with works. Oh, praise the Lord. And as it is, oh, I know we want to be that child of God. Oh, that is faithful until the end. He that overcometh the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, thank the Lord. Through faith, there is victory. Through faith, we can overcome. And praise the Lord, by these workings of faith, oh, we can hold true and make it through this world. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we know, oh, God sees and honors faith. But faith without works is dead, being alone, knowing these things. Oh, my, isn't it time to put faith, oh, forward? And to believe God, to stand on his promises, and oh yes, to endure until the end. Praise the Lord, to stand fast in the evil day, praising the Lord and worshiping him, and know that through patience, through faith, we're going to be a recipient of the promises. Praise the Lord, the wonderful workings of faith. Oh, praise the Lord, let the Lord work in your heart. Oh, yes, let faith be a reality. Oh, the wonders of faith. Oh, yes, the substance of things that we desire and the evidence of things that are not seen. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful workings of faith in our hearts. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let faith work in your hearts. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Put faith down deep in our hearts, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our chorus books at number 39 and sing Have Faith in God, number 39. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.
Mm-hmm.